1320 WILS. Well, it's been quite a year for Milo Yiannopoulos. First, he resigned from Breitbart. He had a speaking engagement at CPAC canceled. And then Simon & Schuster rescinded his book contract. Well, now his book is out. The brand new book, Dangerous, by Milo Yiannopoulos. And he joins us right now on 1320 WILS. Milo, great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
And how's it been? How have the last 6 months been for you?
Well, it's been a bit of a roller coaster, as some of your listeners might know. But we finally got the book out the door. I didn't really believe, to be honest, a lot of the conservative stuff you hear about, oh, it's so difficult to get a book out the door if you have the wrong politics in America. But it actually really is. And I had a horrible long road getting this book out there. But I'm happy to say that we are week three in the New York Times bestseller list. The book is a massive hit. People seem to love it, so I'm very happy.
Now, the initial months after, obviously, the controversy, you resigning from Breitbart, what was that like going through those initial several months?
Well, I think one of the nice things about America is how forgiving it is. And I misspoke, as a lot of people in public life sometimes find themselves doing. And, you know, I give interviews for a living, and when you're speaking for 6, 7, 8 hours a day sometimes, things tumble out of your mouth that you don't intend. So I gave a full account of that, apologized for the bit of it that I hadn't meant to say and didn't mean. And I think people were very forgiving about it. So, it was a rough 48 hours, but unfortunately the book, I think, stands on its own merits, and people really seem to love it.
Now, in terms of, because you certainly, you've got chapters there, why the progressive left hates me, why feminists hate me, and so on. What drives you to the point that you don't mind the hate that comes with what you do?
I think to be a culture warrior, to be somebody who really wants to change how people are allowed to speak and communicate, to express themselves, and to go up against the ranked masses of the liberal media, academic establishment, and Hollywood, you have to have quite thick skin. And I'm one of those people that just wakes up in the morning spoiling for a fight, you know?
How did you end up that way, would you say?
I don't know. I think some people are just born that way. You know, every generation, there's a couple of us. There's an Ann Coulter, there's a Miley Hopper, the late Andrew Breitbart was one of us, I think. And we all have slightly different stories of how we got there, but we all end up being determined fighters who just won't stop no matter what, you know, and it doesn't matter what gets thrown at us, we'll pick ourselves up and keep going the next day. And it's one of those qualities that I think you either have or you don't. And you know, like I say, every generation has a couple of us. We're broken in some way, I guess. But it means that we can absorb all the firepower so you guys can express yourselves more freely. You know, tell the jokes you want to tell, read the books you want to read, and express yourselves however you like, because we're the ones getting in trouble for mean jokes on the internet, you know?
Right. Now, I mean, are there moments where you think to yourself, this is not really worth it?
No, not really, because I've got a sort of countercultural cool. If I'd had the right politics, I probably could have had a TV show by now. But if I'd worked really hard for it, but I've acquired something a bit different. It's a kind of countercultural cool. I'm like a guilty pleasure, like Playboy or Madonna in the 1990s, and I think that suits my personality better. So I'm enjoying them in my career as it is.
I'm talking to Milo Yiannopoulos. His brand new book is out now, Dangerous, and you're talking about yourself, of course, right?
Well, the title refers not only to me. As a sort of dangerous free speech fundamentalist and a warrior for free speech and libertarianism and conservative principles, but also it refers, of course, to the dangers of safe spaces, speech codes, trigger warnings, and all the various risks to free speech that I see as a European coming over here and examining the landscape as coming from the progressive left, primarily coming from the media, coming from the academic establishment, and coming from Hollywood. So the title kind of works a couple of different ways, but what's clear is that free speech in America is under threat like never before. Not since the foundation of the country has it been so difficult and so dangerous to express yourself freely in this country. And I think that's terrible, not just for you guys, but for the rest of the world too, because we rely on you. We look up to you. We treat you as a bastion of freedom. We treat you as a We think of you as an example, as a shining beacon of what freedom might look like, and you're losing it.
But
this book is my effort to stem the tide, I guess.
Milo, why do you think it is so openly accepted, especially by younger generations, then?
Well, the problem is that, as far as I can tell, conservative commentators, activists, and politicians have simply done nothing to stem the takeover of the academy, of Hollywood and the creative industries and the media by some fairly extreme left-wing activists, and in some cases very extreme left-wing activists. You know, the shift towards identity politics, which has been driven by the left, the idea that your skin color matters more than what's in your head, you know, overturning the Martin Luther King in favor of the sort of race-baiting that you see from Black Lives Matter, and you know, the kind of gender baiting you see from these mean, vindictive, spiteful feminist activists. Mm-hmm. I think this is a bad thing, but the right has done almost nothing to correct it and almost nothing to fight it.
Really?
They poured billions of dollars into think tanks and magazines, but not actually showed up to fight anyone. And what I try to do is go to colleges, you know, show up to the places where this stuff actually happens and try to talk to these people and try and talk them out of the madness.
And you were actually here recently at Michigan State University, right?
Yeah. I mean, I did a long tour last year. I think I did a couple of different Michigan schools over the last, I think, year and a half, and we'll be doing some more of them on my tour returns. The new tour is called Troll Academy. So I'm going to teach other people to be just as mischievous as I am.
Really?
I'm sure I'll be coming back to a Michigan school.
You're going back on tour. Is it going to be the same scene again, these major protests, that kind of thing?
Well, I should hope so, because this is the big fight of my generation's lifetime, is are we going to accept the government, corporations, and activists setting the limits of free speech? Are we going to allow other people who say they know better than we do to tell us what language is acceptable, to tell us what jokes we're allowed to make in public, to tell us what clothes we can wear and what slogans we can wear on our T-shirts? Or are we going to trust the individual? Are we going to, you know, have faith that that society can sort this stuff out for itself?
Right.
And people should be free to express themselves however they please and accept the consequences of their own actions. Right. I firmly believe that the latter course is what has made Western civilization so fantastic. It is what has made America the greatest country in the history of human civilization. But it is currently at risk.
But where we are now, I mean, you can certainly say what you want to say, but you're going to face major consequences for it, right? Is that what it amounts to?
Well, there are also major consequences to not being able to express yourself freely. You see, if you can't use language to express your ideas, you can't argue about anything serious. You can't really have an argument about, let's say, abortion or foreign policy if a certain ideas are seen as hateful or bigoted before they've even really had an opportunity to be discussed. And I think what's happened in America in the last 5 or 10 years is that Republican positions, not just Republican positions, but mainly conservative Republican and some libertarian positions, have been characterized as hateful, bigoted, racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, before they have even had an opportunity to be discussed. And what the left does is tries to write off arguments it doesn't want to address as some kind of what they call hate speech or bigotry. Well, that's simply not good enough. People have to be able to argue about things, debate about things, and there has to be an open marketplace of ideas where people present their cases and the public decides. Because otherwise, special interest groups, people with money, people with power, get to decide what you can and can't say and what you can and can't read.
Right.
And the story of how my book published is an example of that.
Now, the book, the brand new book, is called Dangerous. Milo Yiannopoulos here with us on WILS. Although, once you're branded that way, you certainly have dealt with that, branded as hateful or bigoted. What does that do to your ability to get your message out once that happens?
Well, here's the thing, and it's one of the messages in the book. Journalists are losing their power to ruin people's reputations because so few of us believe what they say these days. I mean, if you consider how few Americans trust the media now, what is it, 39% of Americans believe the press always tells the truth, or some crazy low confidence statistic like that that came out a couple of months ago. Very, very few of us believe everything the press tells us because the press keeps lying to us, or lying by omission, or misrepresenting facts, or you know, missing out key bits of the story, or focusing on things that aren't important and missing out on really important story, you know, stories. I mean, just look at how much time that the networks are currently spending on Debbie Wasserman Schultz's hard drives, and this guy that worked for her that was trying to escape the country, having sent $250,000 to Pakistan. Nobody's talking about that. They're still banging on about Trump and Russia. The risk here of, you know, in characterizing any opinion that might, you know, to the right of Jane Fonda as in some way hateful means that people can't have open and honest discussions. And the results of that are, yes, dangerous. I mean, inevitably, so, in societies where people cannot have open, free discussion, things descend into violence. And that's exactly what you see in the rest of the world, where we don't have free speech.
Well, but the other side says they're, you know, they have parameters, right? There are certain words that they view as hateful words, painful words. Do you think in some cases it's worth not using certain words that might offend and hurt people?
No, not really, because I think once you start playing that game, you're admitting to them that they get to set the rules. And then, of course, the parameters keep changing. They keep there are new words every week that are okay and new words that are not okay. And you end up in this, and we're in that situation now, even. You know, what do you call certain groups of people, whether it's a skin color or a sexual orientation or a body dysmorphia disorder? Nobody has any idea what they're allowed to call each other these days, and it produces a sort of anxiety and a paralysis and stress in people. And once you start playing that game, once you give them the power to define how you use language, you're also limiting how you can think about things. You can't discuss ideas and you can't explore concepts if certain words and certain words and parts of language are effectively outlawed or become too difficult or dangerous to say in public.
So it
limits the range of thought, not just of speech.
I'm curious, other than the protests, obviously, when you go and speak, have you had situations where you're out just living your personal life where people attack you personally right to your face?
Well, my annual private security bill is $750,000.
Wow.
And I travel with Navy SEALs everywhere I go because the left cannot respond to ideas with ideas. They respond to ideas with violence. So, yes, I mean, UC Berkeley, there were people trying to kill me. My team is so good that they don't get close enough to do any damage. So I'm pretty safe when I leave the house.
Okay, is that serious, though? Do you feel your life is essentially being threatened at any given moment?
Well, it's maybe not at any given moment, but when I do public events, for sure. And it's not my feeling. That's a risk assessment by former Navy SEALs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a cost of doing business in public life as a conservative that I shouldn't have to bear. It's one of the strategies of the left. You know, they want to make it really difficult and really expensive for conservatives to speak in public. It's why they put so many pointless and weird restrictions on conservatives who want to speak on college campuses. They make the security fees high. They put absurdly high administrative burdens on the students. They make it as difficult, as complex, and as expensive as possible to be a conservative in public life, to put people off bothering. But fortunately for America, there are some of us who are going to bother no matter what. And whatever they throw at us, we'll pay the bills, we'll show up, and we'll give our speeches. Because, you know, if America loses the First Amendment, it loses everything.
It's the brand new book, Dangerous. The book is titled Dangerous, and the author is Milo Yiannopoulos. It's Milo Yiannopoulos right here on 1320 WILS. Milo, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, Milo. Hey, thanks again. I think the listeners are going to find this too very interesting. So thanks.
Yeah, it was an interesting chat.
Yep,
thanks a lot.
Thanks
a lot. And give me a call anytime.
All
Cheers.
Right. Excellent. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
And we'll be right back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.